I would like to open up the First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17 to 20. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. May the Lord bless this precious word that we just read. Apostle Paul had much suffered in Philippi, the first city in the European continent. But he was happy. And he was glad because by the Lord, he won a souls there. Lydia and jailers and their families, and they will be a core member of the Philippian assembly later. Paul left the Philippi and 100 miles heading to the west and arrived in Thessalonica. And customarily, he went to the synagogue and preached the gospel. I just wonder, he just preached the gospel for 3 weeks. And the Holy Spirit worked among the believers, and the assembly was formed in there. We know that after 3 weeks, the opposition arose. And he had to went out to Perea and down to Athens and finally arrived at Corinth. And he sent Timothy because he was a spiritual father and he wanted to know what they are really doing under the tribulation and difficult time. You know, when we read this verse, we can find out the spirit of the care of Apostle Paul. He preached the gospel and he redeemed the time within short period of time. And he met the new converts, their new believers. And he did his best to help them. And after he left, and he always concerned of their welfare, spiritual welfare. So in this verse, we can find that there is a saturation of his care for those believers. And so he really wants to go back to the city of Thessalonica. Why? Because he wants to see them. How they just exercise their faith in this difficult time. And he said, Thessalonian saints is my joy and my glory, and they are crown of rejoicing. In New Testament, we can find out five crowns. James telling us the crown of life. Believers who endure the temptation, God is going to giving award, reward, and honor for the glory, the crown of the life. And Peter said the crown of glory. The elders taking care of the saints, that is a really hard job. Sometimes shepherd couldn't sleep for many nights because of the saints. And that is very valuable works. And the Lord is going to certainly giving award, honor to the elders. Apostle Paul, he mentioned crown of righteousness. He, not only himself, but also everyone who is waiting and the love, the his appearing, and they will receive that glory. You know, Apostle Paul mentioned another crown, the incorruptible crown. We are athletes. We are running in the stadium. We are looking for the final point, and we have to control ourselves. Self-discipline is necessary. But in this chapter, we can find out the different, somewhat different crown. That is crown of rejoicing. That crown of rejoicing are the people, Thessalonian saints. When he was talking about the crown of rejoicing, he was thinking about coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful time. Parousia is his coming. And with that coming, number of things serially happen. We wait our Lord Jesus Christ coming for the church. And that moment we will be raptured, caught up in the air within the twinkling of an eye. And we will see him. There are many reasons why we are waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we are living in this chaotic world. Sickness, death is even a reality to a Christian. There is injustice and unrighteousness is prevalent all over the world. We see that this week, another war just happened and so many people just died. And in this world, we have many tears, many gloomy thoughts. But as a Christian, we have a wonderful hope. Even though this is a negative reason, but we will get away from this kind of world. And we'll see him in the air. But we have another positive reason that we will see him in the air. When I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I just read one verse. That verse has a power to change my whole life. But I never seen our Lord Jesus Christ. In medieval time, there are many painters. They draw out our Lord. But that is their imagination. But when we see him in the air, we can see him in the face to face. And eye to eye. You know how much time, how many times we just sang, "Oh Lord Jesus, how long, how long?" Ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Our Lord is coming. And another reason we are waiting for his coming is because we will go into the wonderful place, ideal place. There is no pollution, no unrighteousness. Such an ideal place, that is our Father's mansion. There is a pearly gate and the golden path and the gems and precious stones. So nice. There are many mansions in this world. But that are incomparable with the place that we should go. That is a wonderful place. But no matter how we can meet such a wonderful person and such a wonderful place, if we are still wrong and still have a sin, and if we go there, that place will be defiled. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, we have a citizenship in heaven. And once the Lord Jesus Christ coming, we have a blessed hope, that we have a lively hope that we will go there. But that time, our vile body will be transformed into the glorious body. Not only that, John, in his epistle, chapter 3, verse 2, we will see him as he is. When I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, my sin was forgiven because of his precious blood. But I knew that I and died with him. My old man is dead, but we know, time to time, we are very shameful because this old man is just walking again. We have to confess the Lord and our sin, and he is a righteous, and his blood forgive all our sin. By this, we have passing through the process of sanctification. But when I see him in the Lord, in the air, and that time, all the sins completely disappear. Our service and our worship is completely perfect. That is a time that I really yearning and longing for that day. We will be perfect. Of course, our Lord is perfect. And our relationship and our fellowship and our service and worship, everything is perfect. And that will last eternally. Apostle Paul was thinking about this time. And he was thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you and I have living in this world as a Christian. Day by day, we have a sense of responsibility. That will be a wonderful time. But whenever I'm thinking about that time, what is my responsibility? What is my love to the Lord? What is my dedication to the Lord? Always. I have to thinking about that. And the apostle was thinking, and at that time, wonderful time, that there is a Thessalonian saints, and he's expecting that there are the crown of rejoicing. I know the apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16, and he has many, many friends. When he salute in his epistle, there are so many peoples listed and mentioned there. And he always thought they are precious. Why the saints are so precious? Because saints are, brothers and sisters are, one, the object of the love. Christ died for them. Christ died for me, and Christ died for them. That's why they are so precious. And another reason is they are rare species. Most of the people in this world, they're just working in the broad way. But some reason, because we knew our Lord Jesus Christ, every Christian go into narrow way. In that sense, they are very peculiar. And they love the Lord. And they endure the difficulty, adversity, persecution because of the Lord. That's why they are so precious. You know, Apostle Paul was deeply impressed because of Thessalonian saints. They are the people have a three cardinal Christian virtue. Number one is they have work of faith and the labor of love and the patience of hope. They are elected by the, they receive the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are followers of the Christ and apostle, and they have wonderful witness, and their witness and testimony was spread all around the surrounding area. And word of God spread with a mighty power, and they left from the idol, and they came into the true and living God. And they are the people who are waiting for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Paul was really thinking of Thessalonians. They are my joys, and they are my glory, and they are crown of my rejoicing. Apostle Paul loved Thessalonian saints. We remember the history. He went there just 3 Sabbaths. He preached the gospel. And by the grace of the Lord, some newly believed brethren just came out from the world. and he shared with the world, and they he trust helped them. You know, when he loved the Thessalonian, there is a clear reason, because he put there to put his effort. He endured the labor pain, the travail. In Colossians, he said, I am a minister of gospel, and I am a minister of the church. And he has a pain, labor pain, for childbearing. When he went there, wherever he went there, he always preached the gospel, always faced with opposition and tribulation and riots. And he, all the time, he just ran away, or sometimes even stoned. How much he had suffered, his stripes and beaten. And he had a peril of the countrymen, peril of the false brethren, peril of the city, and peril in the wilderness. He had a hunger and thirst and the naked. On the top of that, he had a heavy burden that he always taking care of many churches. Paul really loved them because he put a painful effort. That is a labor, travail of the childbearing. Whenever I see the mother who just hold the baby, as a man, I do not know the labor pain. But you know, our sisters know. And the mother just passed through the such a intense pain, excruciating pain, but still mother's face is a smile because of the life. Childbearing is done by this glorious message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have another labor, travail. Galatians chapter 4, 19, the Paul said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Paul, three Sabbaths in Thessalonica, he preached the gospel in the synagogue. I don't know whether he preached the gospel in a private place, but I believe that he redeemed his time. He never wasted his time. He just approached to the newly converted, and he just tried to help them. They need a faith. The faith prevails over the world. We live in this world, tough world. Satan is our enemy, and the world is our enemy. That is outside. But inside, we have an enemy of the flesh. Satan always put the world into our eye and to elicit some kind of response from our flesh. That is world. That is a sad world. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Because that's why we call this world is a veil of sorrow. Dear brothers and sisters, newly converted in Thessalonica, they need a faith. This world is not a playground. As a Christian, we are living in this world as a battleground. We are fighting in the spiritual fight. For the victory in that fighting, we need a faith. Apostle Paul was really helping them to have them a faith. They are growing. They will be mature. In them, the Christ image is formed. That's his desire, intense desire. Our Lord is a constructor and builder, but Satan is a destroyer. The Lord gave us a powerful tool to build up our brothers and sisters. Of course, we have to grow up. We have to have a fellowship with the Lord. We are going into the maturity, but our desire and our hope before the Lord is preach the gospel. Our conversation is become with the gospel of Christ. At the same time, we want to help our brothers and sisters in being built up. Lord gave us several powerful tools to edify our brothers and sisters. The first one is our example. We see the Lord's example. Whenever we see the Lord's example, how he departed from ivory palace and came into this world. He is God. He has all attributes of God. He is God, the very God, but he emptied himself, made himself no reputation, and took a form of the servant, and made himself into man, and he obedient unto the death of the cross. That is our wonderful example. His humility and his stoop and his lowliness. No man spake like this man. And we know his path and his conversation, his speech and his sympathy for so many people. There are so many people suffered with their pain. Many, many diverse reasons they suffered. And our Lord Jesus Christ has more suffering than those who suffered. And he just gave up everything. And God became a man. And walking around us, what a humility, what a lowliness. And his only desire in this world is, he said, my meat is to do the will of the Lord. Will of the Father. And that is an example. What an example of the crucifixion. And all those things, whenever I just meditate, and we meditate, our heart is always touched. And our heart is always have a motive to like him, to serve him. Example has a wonderful power. It is not a coercing force. It is attractive force. Whenever we see our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, I want to follow the Lord because that example is so beautiful. It has a power to change your heart. If our heart is indifferent, and if our heart is cooled down, then we have to repent. I cannot afford to resist our Lord. I cannot afford to resist the example of our Lord. So Lord really want us to show the example. Without any sermon, with that example, people is touched and they just follow. So that is first example, first strong tools the Lord gave us to edify our brothers and sisters. It will be very great because my example and some other brothers and sisters has a wonderful life. But it will be very shameful if I do not show the good example that is really, really, we are ashamed. But we ask the Lord the grace. If the Lord grant us the grace, and we will be showing a good example, and assembly will be more and more and wonderful place. Number two, another strong, the powerful tool for edifying our brothers and sisters is our speech. Our word is coming up out of our hearts. If I have a fellowship with the Lord, my heart will be filled with grace. If my heart is filled with grace, my word will saturate with grace as well. And that will really influence other people, sometimes encourage, sometimes uphold, sometimes disappointed saints with the word of grace. And the Proverbs 25:11 said, a word fitly spoken is like aptly of gold in picture, the apple of gold in picture of silver. Fitly spoken is quite important. In Korean proverb, we have a 말 한마디에 천냥빚을 갚는다. With one word, we can pay $1 million debt. One word. If we have a right word, right sentence is used in our conversation, and it is a right time, and enormous power, it happened. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Apostle Paul told us, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Salt, seasoned with the salt. You know, we know the right pickle, very delicious pickle, is well seasoned with the right concentration of the salt. What is like that? Sometimes just a few words really lift up our brothers and sisters. Another powerful tool that we can help our brothers and sisters is this. That is spiritual gift. The gift is present. Whenever we use the gift is for to edify other brothers and sisters. And if we use this spiritual gift in love, that spiritual gift is always edify, build up our saints. Corinthian saints, they all want to speak tongues. And with that kind of situation, the people is really want to show off himself. And that is a chaos. But if we use our love when we exercise our gift, the exercising is always beneficial. The gift always edify brothers and sisters. Without love, that will be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But if we use God-given gift, whether that is a public or private, or for sin or not sin, it doesn't matter. It always build up our precious brothers and sisters. Another powerful tool is this. We never know the love before we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, show his love first. That's why our heart was touched and we trust the Lord and we come to the Lord and we realize this is a love. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, knowledge puffeth up, but the charity edifieth. Years ago, I know one Korean boy, and he was always scolded by his parents. He was lazy, and his academic mark is so low, and mom and dad call him and scold all the time and deliver a message with a long address. And he was always fed up with the nitpicking of the parents or the relatives, always received a negative word. And he was really fed up. But one day, when he was a grade 8, his homeroom teacher just came to him and he said, "I heard your voice. Your voice is so nice. Why don't you just practice to read your textbook?" You know, this boy, it was the first time was a praise. First time in his life, the positive word. And he cherished and he put that word in his heart. And he began to read the textbook. You know, years later, he became a famous vocal actor. Love have a motive to make us change. With that love, so many people didn't know what kind of good advantage or talents in him. But his teacher just find out and kindly told him, "Why don't you to cultivate your quality?" And he became a wonderful man. Another powerful tool is our prayer. When I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I begin to read the Word of God. And I begin to learn the prayer. Learning a prayer is very difficult, but very useful. Because I just pray, practice prayer, and I begin to understand that there is a listening of our Lord, our Father. And He is a listen and answer. And there is something happened. So I am encouraged. I just pray and more and more. And prayer is such an important tool. You know, Epaphras was a Colossian brother. And he came to Rome. And he helped the Apostle Paul. But while he was in the Rome, he was looking back. And there is a Colossian, his home assembly. There is a many saints. And he always, even though there is a long, long distance, but he prayed all the time. You know, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 said, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Prayer has a power. Unbeliever doesn't understand why the Christian just pray. This is nonsense. They believe that is nonsense. But we know there is connection. If I fly my kites and fly far away, and sometimes I even cannot see because the kite is too far away. But when I pull out the thread, I sense it in the thread. You know, prayer is like that. Invisible God, our Father is invisible. But when he prayed, he answered. He answered. In urgent time, he answered. And we have to pray for our brothers and sisters. Another one is Word of God. What a powerful tool the Word of God is. Apostle Paul, in his third missionary journey, when he returned to Jerusalem, he touched down on Miletus. And in his farewell speech to the Ephesian elder, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." The word of God has a power to build up. Twenty-nine years ago, I was in this assembly. Year before, the Lord called me to go to New York City. We said, yes, we'll go. But that time, it was 1994, the New York City's security, street security is so terrible. One of the examples is this. If I go in the street of the New York City, and in my wallet, there is much money, it's very dangerous. And if I don't have any money, it's dangerous as well. You know, I have no cash in my wallets and street walking in the street and met the robber and he demand and he just search out my wallets and find out there is no money and I'll be beaten and the nose will be fractured, you know, and they take out the money and gone. This is just one of the examples. They're so lousy in the security. So in my heart, there is some measure of the worry and the care. I have three little children. I'm going there. But one day, Mr. Edward Doherty, he's now be with the Lord. And he came here on the Sunday, Lord's Day. I was sitting there with my wife. And he was deliver a ministry with Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Abed, Meshach, and Abednego, and three friends of Daniel stood in front of the huge statue, an image made by the Nebuchadnezzar in the plain of Dura. They reject the bow down. Of course, they reject bow down. And the Nebuchadnezzar was really angry. They gave them a final ultimatum. Now I'm going to give you a chance. Bow down, otherwise you will be thrown into the furnace. And they answered, quite a noble answer, King, O King, we cannot bow down. And we trust that our Lord will deliver us. But even though our Lord is not deliver us, there is one word, one answer. That is, we cannot bow down. And then they are thrown into the fiery furnace, seven times hotter than usual. And when they are thrown down, there is no smell of the hair and no smell of the garments, but selectively the robes was burnt. And Nebuchadnezzar was really surprised because there is a fourth person there and they just walking, roaming inside the fiery furnace. When this message was delivered, our heart was really glow. New York City's insecurity is a furnace. But in furnace, if we are thrown down, if we are willingly go, and then no smell of the hairs and garments, and rope will be selectively destroyed and we will enjoy the presence of the Lord. 29 years just passed. Of course, we had some kind of dangers, but so far, Lord was so gracious, so good. And that promise, that ministry was so helpful. I know Anne and I are the crown of the rejoicing of our dear brother, Edward Doherty. One more episode I want to share with you. 40 years ago, it was 1983, I was in Toronto, Eglinton Gospel Hall. It was rainy, whole day it was a rain. And on Wednesday evening, I just attend the midweek meeting. In that midweek meeting, Mr. Fred Krauss is a full-time minister in Northern Ontario and visit our assembly. And that night, he ministered with the Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek
these things which are above where Christ on the right hand of the God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye, our deed, and your life is hid with Christ in God. His theme was, set our affection on high, not this earth. And while he was a minister with this word, he delivered an illustration. An astronaut, you know, 1969 to 1972, in the United States have seven attempts of the landing of the moon, and six were successful. So far in human history, 12 men landed on the moon. And that time, the astronauts saw in the moon, they saw the earth. They said, earth looks like a Macintosh apple. And the meeting was over, and we just dispersed, and we just go out in the foyer, and there we really beloved our sister. Their name is Jesse and Margaret Young. They are quite old. We are just a young couples. And they always kindly care of us. And they just met us and Joseph and Anne. Do you know what happened? They said, whole day, rainy whole day, they are nurses. For many, many years, they work in the hospital. But that day, we have a travel couch, and whole day we just have anxiety and cares and try to our best, and we became a carpenter and cut it out and nail. And by the time that we have to go to the assembly, our heart was so miserable because the result was not really satisfactory. So behind them, there was a problem couch. And they came to assembly. They sit there. You know, Anne and Joseph, we found this. Whole day, our heart was really under the burden with this useless couch. I know this couch is in the small Macintosh apple. I really want to put my affection on the Lord. You know, we receive a wonderful ministry and receive because of the power of the Word of God from the Mr. Krauss. But in the foyer, our two sisters gave us a practical ministry with those words. Word of God has that power. Apostle Paul, he was visualized that he's standing before this judgment seat of Christ. And he cared. As a spiritual father, he wanted to care the Thessalonian saints with all his heart and all his enthusiasm. And he just looking ahead. The time will come. I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be a dear saints here. Because then he passed through the travail of the childbearing, and he passed through the travail of the growth pain. You and I have that kind of same desire. We want to emulate with Apostle Paul. We want to have a crown of rejoicing for living for the gospel and living for the helping of our brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless our hearts, and we really want to serve him in these two areas, the ministry of the gospel and ministry of the church.